The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Yet another edition of We the People Radio. Good morning. You Hello. Are tuning in to local community news at Free Fire Media. We the People Radio, a local show going 3 years strong. Thanks to Carl and Linda Bott. We should shout out and say thanks once in a while.
We should definitely shout out since Bill can't hear you say shout out.
I know. So you're joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin, and Bob Martin is our show producer, and he's the one that unlocks the door and lets us in if he, you know, is in the mood to do so.
Thank goodness he's always here before we are. Yeah. Today was like a little bit of a dead run. We got an extra hour, and we still
the correct time if you're just waking up, 8:09.
Yeah, and I got it this week. and I was at the movies last night, and in the darkened theater, and Bob's calling me. So I'm in the dark theater, and I'm texting, and I'm saying, Bob, I'm in the movie theater. What do you want? Text me. He just wanted to remind me that this was the week for turning the clocks
back. He told me that he reminded you because I was driving up to Wairika last night, and I'm like, oh, we better synchronize. It'd be bad if we all did this wrong.
So Bob Martin is
with all the traveling you do, I would think you'd have permanent jet lag. I would think you wouldn't have any idea what time of day it is.
I don't know.
You know, sometimes when you're on autopilot, it's almost better.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, it's funny. I make that drive a lot. It's a nice drive.
Yeah.
I used to make that drive a lot. I know it is a nice drive.
But that's up to Siskiyou County.
It gets old.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny. I make a lot of drives that get old, and that mm-hmm. just isn't one
of
them.
Well, you know, it only gets old when you leave here and head south.
That gets old.
But heading east, heading west, or heading north is always really nice. But south kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Nothing nice about it.
No, it's just kind of boring. But, you know, the thing is, when you go up north, you're you know, gaining a little bit in elevation. Mm-hmm. So even if I'm going to Doris or Wairika or whatever, when you come home, it's like you're coasting.
Yeah,
which would explain why I was going 80 miles an hour when the police stopped me last night.
So one nice thing about going south is you can pretty much be certain the weather's going to be just as good or better mm-hmm. than where you're coming from.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't know. People are nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually colder.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's all upside for me.
And let's face it. I mean, who doesn't love smaller communities?
Exactly.
You can just take a deep breath and exhale and relax.
Everybody's all nice.
Yeah, everybody's nice and nobody's in a big hurry. So Bob Martin is our musical savant, and I encourage you, if you have not paid close attention to the music that he picks, it always matches the topic and the lyrics are usually fantastic. So we're chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. I encourage you also to go to that webpage. Our dear friend Robert Exter works on that on a weekly basis, does a great job. And everything about our guest today will be on that website, so you can follow along while you're listening.
And we threw him a little bit of a twist today.
Okay.
It was like I sent him some stuff when I got home last night.
Oh, so you threw Robert a twist.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I threw him a twist. I got some things from Charlotte.
Nice.
She said, hey, make sure everybody reads this. I was like, it's kind of late now. But
Charlotte is her beat.
Yeah.
Going to talk about Common Core?
Yeah, and just some other stuff. I mean, she's been looking at these things coming for a long time. So she wanted us to make sure and include some videos and some different things. And, oh, there it is right there. He did it already. Yeah, so if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, the video she wanted you to watch is like 30 minutes. But it's a nice overview of a whole bunch of different people. I didn't count how many, but like 10, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Little snippets of 10 different people just on different aspects of this. Big issues with privacy with Common Core.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the changes in the education system.
Well, let's get the kids used to having no personal privacy.
Well, and the parents, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, between that and the Obamacare, because I'm sorry, but I've been just loving this rollout.
Okay, you got to admit, it's been absolutely hysterical. And my husband and I, we just crack up. And it's very serious business. It's going to be devastating to so many people, to our economy, in ways that people cannot begin to imagine yet. But it's funny, if you knew all along, if you were aware enough to pay attention to the qualifications of this president, instead of watching him and listening to the tone of his voice, listen to what he was saying. Pay very close attention to the words. He told us he was going to fundamentally transform this country, and he wasn't kidding. But anyway, so...
He just left out the part about how he wasn't going to do it very well.
Yeah, well... But again,
he was gonna hire incompetent people to do it.
What qualifications did he have?
Okay, so I'm coming home, right? So I spent a lot of time driving. So I'm listening to this thing the other night, and they were talking all about the company that built the website for Obamacare.
Oh, they were turned down by the Canadian government.
Yeah, well, because
they're so bad.
They have flopped every project they've done. They listed them all, how long they were on the project, how much it cost to fix what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's inconceivable that we hired these people.
But is it really?
I mean, if you were trying to actually build something that worked, it's inconceivable that we hired these people.
And at the tune of over $600 million of taxpayer dollars in 3.5 years, and they still couldn't do it.
Isn't that just awesome?
Our money. So my husband and I are enjoying this ride very much because we knew it was coming. And there's a little bit of happiness in being able to say, I told you so.
Well,
who doesn't love that?
Besides that, you know, people maybe the people that thought that this was going to be, you know, it's always interesting. I'm always hearing those clips of interviews with people or reading their responses. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize their cost was going to go up because they thought that magically we would just...
Where do they think the money comes from?
Exactly.
The government has no money until they take it from the taxpayers.
Well, and the other part of that, too, is... And so then you have all those people out there that are saying, but everyone deserves to be covered. Well, you know what? We could have paid for the people who truly weren't covered, who wanted insurance.
With the money that was spent on the website.
Yeah, tons of people who weren't covered didn't want to be covered. They were 20-something, so they didn't want to spend the money. You just have all these people. So now they're dumping into Medicare.
Yeah.
Well, that goes right to the states. So all those people who, you know, I don't know, if your state happens to have some sort of balanced budget, I don't know how many of them are running that way.
Well, that depends on whether they include the unfunded liabilities, which they magically seem to forget about.
Yeah.
You know, if you can just kind of shove that into a
dark
closet.
But it's just taxes, more taxes, and some more taxes coming your way.
Yeah.
To cover the mistakes.
And something coming down the pike is the vehicle miles traveled.
Oh, God.
The plan, and apparently it's more real than we imagine that they're going to be taxing us on every mile that we travel.
Yeah, by putting a little black box. Yeah, little box that knows, you know, how many miles we travel, where we go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so how many issues? I mean, you have 360 degrees of issues with that.
Yeah.
Privacy.
Yeah.
How much control do you have over where you go and what you do?
And think about the people that travel for work.
Oh, yeah. How about the people
they're going to get taxed on that.
Who have relatives.
Yeah.
You know, that they like to go on road trips. Maybe they don't fly, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
Lots of crazy stuff out there.
So not only do you have to pay the exorbitant gas prices and all that, now you get to pay by the mile.
And I wonder how many people, when they go fill up their gas tank, when they're actually at the pump, it will tell you right on the pump how much of... Each gallon of gas is going to taxes. It shows you right on the pump.
Sure. But this is one of those Trojan horse deals where, you know, if we do that, then we can fix our roads, our crumbling infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's always the
Now,
thing.
Something I heard from a fairly reliable source, getting back to Obamacare, apparently in the bill starting January 1st, and I haven't done the research myself, but I did get it from a reliable source, but I will do my research, is that if you are a person that is attempting to borrow money to buy a home, when you sit down with a lender, they look at your debt-to-income ratio, and they look at basically, they allow you a certain percentage of your income to go to your housing expenses, which would be PITI, you know, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance.
Okay.
But then they also look at credit cards and car loans. So they're looking at your debt-to-income ratio before they determine whether you can qualify for a loan. And it usually doesn't include things like insurance. It never included medical before. Well, apparently, starting January 1st, that debt-to-income ratio is now going to include what you pay in insurance premiums, which have just gone through the roof.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
That's awesome.
Isn't that nice?
That's terrific.
But I encourage people to do their own research. Talk to your lender, talk to your real estate agent, whoever.
I still just think that the Saturday Night Live skit that mocked them and said that they built a website for six people, and then it turned out only six people signed up the first day. I frankly just think you can't make that kind of theater up.
We have a friend of the program on the line, Orlene Curla.
Orlene?
Yes, she's checking
in.
Good morning. What are you doing down there in Santa Rosa calling radio shows in the morning?
I was thinking that maybe Dan Johnson was going to be on your program this morning, but I found out it's Charlotte Iserbit, which is also a wonderful good friend of mine, so I'm happy to hear that.
I had dinner with Dan last night.
Good.
I had dinner with Dan up in Wairika. He's coming in tomorrow. We're going to pre-record, and Dan is going to be on, I think we'll probably do on Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, and just wanted to point out, Dan Johnson is a mere 20 years old. He may be 21 by now.
No, please, I think he's 20.
He's quite the historian. He knows history and the Constitution pretty much as well as anybody I've ever listened to. He's a phenomenal speaker for being as young as he is. He can speak well, and he can communicate very well. And if you go back into the archives of We the People Radio, we had him on
August 11th.
August 11th. And it's well worth a listen. And there's a clip from a presentation he gave at a university. It might have been in Ohio. But he's going to be at the Reading Tea Party tomorrow night. And for all those folks out there that think young people either don't care, don't know, they're not aware, they're not paying attention, you could not be more wrong. So I encourage you to come out and listen to Dan Johnson. He is the founder of PANDA, which is People Against the NDAA.
National Defense Authorization Act. He'll also be at a local high school. He'll be at Anderson New Tech at 3:15 Monday afternoon speaking to the student body. So how's that, Arlene? Are we keeping him busy enough for a Monday?
Yes, I'm very impressed. We are then bringing him on to Santa Rosa on Wednesday, and he will go on to Santa Cruz that evening where he's speaking for a group, coming back to Santa Rosa where he's speaking for a combined group of Sonoma County Eagle Forum, as well as the North Bay Patriots. And then Friday, he goes on to speak for Nina Pellegrini's group. And then Saturday, he's speaking for a Northern California Republican Women's Convention. So that's really exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, he travels all over the country.
He's all over the place. Well, and he spoke for Friday.
I agree with what you've said about him. He's homeschooled. He's an Eagle Scout. And what a product of wonderful parents that have taught him true American history. It is exciting to have someone like him so young out there speaking and representing our nation, essentially.
Well, and you know, if you look at the demographics, for instance, of your typical Tea Party meeting, you will find that a lot of the folks are older, they're retired. A lot of them are retired government employees who worked for agencies back when the agencies worked for the people. And they are just as disturbed at what's happened as anyone is. But demographically speaking, it does the heart good. And these folks are so thrilled and they're given so much hope when they see somebody like Dan come along, because they understand that the people that are going to pay the highest price for what's going on in our country right now is going to be Dan's generation.
Yep, the youth. Well, they last night you would have been happy, Arlene. I think he spoke for some group. Maybe Friday.
Mount Shasta Republican Women he spoke for Friday.
Oh, okay, that's why. Okay, so I'm at a cattleman's dinner last night up there, and I was sitting with Dan and with the Bocciacalupis, and so people were walking by our table, and they're like, hey, nice talk yesterday. Oh my gosh, are you still, you know.
Yeah.
They were, people were funny. But I guess he grew up in the city, so he's up on the Bocciacalupis Ranch learning about what goes on in the country.
Yes, it's really wonderful. Well, I'm kind of one of the people who brought him here and planned his whole schedule, so I'm glad to know that it's going well.
Yeah, that's why I asked you where he was on Friday.
Well, and
I knew you knew that.
And Debbie Bocciacalupi has just been fantastic. She's a great source of people, because I first heard about Dan on Facebook, because she posted something about him on Facebook.
Ooh.
And I clicked on the link, and I listened to his speech, and I was on the phone and in the email immediately.
Well,
so, yeah.
He's a nice guy. We're looking forward to it. And so we'll have him on the radio here in a couple of weeks. And it just didn't. Yeah, it was one of those things.
I'm so glad that you bring all these amazing people on your show. And
well, it's nice of you to bring them out in real life.
Orlene, as long as you're there, well, you have Charlotte on the line now if you want to say hi.
Yes, I would love to.
Charlotte?
Hello, oh. Charlotte.
Hi.
This is Orlene Curla.
Oh, hello, Orlene. How are you?
I am just fine, Charlotte. So nice to hear your voice, and I love getting your amazing emails and all the great information you keep sending us.
Yeah, two of our favorite people who care a lot about about school, and we learn a lot about Common Core from both of them.
Well, you probably learn more about it from Orlene, because I personally am very tired of it. Maybe she is too. I feel it's very important for, you know, to get Orlene's work out there, but I want everybody to understand that Orlene can only do that because she has been following other standards of operations that have been going on ever since, 1965. And that's why I feel the time has come for everybody to get Orlene's book and understand what Common Core is all about. I call it Communist Core.
Yeah, we do too.
But then they've got to get off that dime and start fighting.
Well, I thank you, Charlotte, and really Charlotte is the one that I got so much information from in writing my big fat book by Stealth and Deception, as well as information for Common Core. So you are the pioneer, Charlotte, to help us learn all about this and expose what's been going on for many generations in our nation with education.
Well, it's important that, it's just great that you're there, Orlene, and that you've done this work. And as I say, though, if we had more time, I would continue to focus on the Common Core. I very much am focusing now on the fact we've lost our protection for privacy that we had under FERPA. That's terribly important, and I want to talk about that today, too. But what's going to happen if people don't stop the school choice agenda, which isn't school choice, because it's tax-funded, and that means you have the same thing as the public schools, but no elected boards. If they don't stop that, it doesn't make any difference how bad Communist Core is or whether you stop it or not, because they're going to have it in the tax-funded private education. And that's what I want people to understand. I mean, all of a sudden, they're going to realize they fought the wrong battle.
Yeah.
A good battle, and it would have been a correct battle at another time. But it's the wrong battle now. And we should be fighting all of these tax-supported school choice agendas, especially charter schools, because they have no elected boards.
And I'm so appreciative of you exposing this, Charlotte, because most of us thought charter schools were something good until you came along and let us know just what the ultimate goal is to get us totally away from any representative government. And that's how they're doing it with charter schools and all this choice that you've mentioned. Well, I will sign off now. I'm supposed to be getting ready for church, but I'm so glad to know that you're there, Charlotte, and look forward to, I'll hear all about it in the archives. And nice to talk to you, Aaron and Elizabeth.
Thank you
for your wonderful radio program. And I will say goodbye now. Thank you.
Hey, thanks,
Orlene.
Thanks, Orlene. Okay.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, so she has brought a nice young man out here who's going to be doing some speaking locally, and we were going to have him on the radio this morning, but we're going to pre-record with him tomorrow, so we, anyway.
That'll be a great show.
We changed her schedule, but we didn't tell her.
You know, and just quickly before we go to a break, I heard and just talking about schools and how tied they are to federal dollars, and you think you have choice. There was something in the state of California, I heard it on the news within the last couple of days. It has to do with the budget for next year, and the schools will if they don't comply with something, and again, I can't recall what it is, but they were told by the federal government that if they didn't comply with certain standards, that they would no longer receive certain federal funding, and it would not be included in the state budget.
That's the whole deal, you know. I mean, that's the way it's been ever since I was a local board member in the mid-70s.
You know, they just hold the, they hold that carrot out there.
Well, okay. Okay.
Well, it's stupid. Why do people take the money?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It's their own fault. And let me make a point here.
Do it.
I very much support federal regulations on federal money.
Sure.
It has to be that way. That's the only fair way it can be. You can't have the federal government giving money out, whether it's bad purposes or good, without regulations. And I've always felt that way. And I always voted no on the school board. They hated me, hated my guts. I voted no on every single federal program. And that is, Americans have absolutely got themselves tied up in knots now, because they've always gone for the money, never realizing that it is correct that the federal or state or local government has regulations. It has to have them, whether you like them or not. I happen to hate them. But you have to have regulations.
Yeah, and I think most people just want these things to make sense. Here I'm in way up in Siskiyou County at a cattleman's dinner last night, and I'm talking to a couple of ladies. One of them happened to be the sheriff's wife. She said, "Did you hear what they did at the Sisson school last week?" These were like fifth graders or sixth graders. I said, "Okay, I'll bite." She said, "Yeah, they had gender day, so all the girls had to come. The girls had to come dressed like boys, and the boys had to come dressed like girls."
Oh, you're kidding me!
No. I mean, this is this isn't just happening in San Francisco.
It's a gender day or transgender day?
Well, I don't know. Some cross-dresser deal.
Stupid. I'm sorry.
Well,
you know,
have
that's
it all over now. But, again, let me just point this out. School choice isn't going to take that away. People have got to realize that if they go with school choice, I mean, the old-fashioned school choice, that's what we've always had. You pay. You pay tuition, right? But the school choice we're looking at nowadays will have the same gender days, the same assessment, the same rotten, evil curriculum, because it is tax-funded. So please, folks, get off all these side issues and start fighting the one issue. While you fight these side issues, all these charter schools are going in all over the country.
Yep.
They're taking over all the schools in the major cities, especially inner city, right? The corporations are taking them all over. You think that's good? You think it's good, the charter school bandwagon? And why you fight gender days? Look, it's so dangerous because charter schools don't have elected boards. So if you don't stop the charter school thing, you're going to have your child in a charter school, and you're going to have gender day, and you will have no place to go to oppose it, to complain, because you will have no elected officials who represent you.
That's right.
Do I not make sense?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. When we first met you and started kind of spreading that message, people were mad. I mean, I'm sure that's not a newsflash for you, but people get frustrated because they think that's the next best alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to explore that for the next hour and a half, actually. So we're not going to be short on time here. We have Charlotte on for the whole program. Our phone number here is 530-605-4567. If you want to give us a call, we're online at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be back with you in 2 minutes.
I love it. I'm rocking out here. Too bad you can't see me.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
That's awesome.
No, I got the beat. The is your beat.
There you go. I was looking for the connection there, Bob.
Why is he playing this song?
I know. I thought, but you know, there's one.
The is your beat. Okay.
Very good.
We're with you.
So we're the Charlotte is your beat.
All right. So, hey, you know, well, we never really, you know, we sort of started off, we always do start off weird, but Charlotte just so people know, if they're not plugged in online there, Charlotte Iserbeet served as the head of the policy at the Department of Education during the first administration of President Ronald Reagan. While working there, she discovered a long-term strategic plan by the tax-free foundations to transform America from a nation of rugged individualists and problem solvers. Wouldn't we like to have a few more of those? To a country of servile, brainwashed minions who simply regurgitate whatever they are told. It's amazing to most people that was happening back in the 80s. Nobody listened, right? They all thought you were probably...
Well, they got upset with my word deliberate, and now they know it's true. I mean, you could never possibly dumb down a country to the extent ours has been dumbed down, and at the same time spend multi-billions of dollars being added to multi-billions every year. There's no way, that's not possible. I mean, children could just not go to school and they'd be better off, right?
True.
So that in itself, if they don't want to read the research that's all in my book, the free download, they can just go to my website and download it free, and you could read all the documents about the deliberate dumbing down through tax money. They did it on purpose. Because you don't take a country with tanks and guns and airplanes anymore. You take it through brainwashing. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and the teachers have been the ones who, actually, I think they've suffered more than the students. And the whole goal, and I've got all the documents, including flow charts and all that I was never meant to see, the goal is to take your child, to take the teacher, and to take the community, by the way, I have all the documents on this stuff. Take them with their values. They come into the system. Then they go through the brainwash, and they come out with the desired outcomes. That's a direct quote from a 1968 federal grant given to a Chicago inner-city school with direct instruction, mastery learning. That is a direct quote. And half of those inner-city children dropped out after they went through that program. Outcomes-based education has nothing to do with academics. It has to do with Soviet workforce training. And the way they're going to do it, the only way they can get it, is through school choice. And I hope I have time to read you an article that was in one of the major education journals not long ago out of Russia, where they've got the charter schools, where they talk about working with the corporations. They call them contract schools there, huh? So get okay. with it. The school choice agenda, without it, they cannot implement this system. Because if they don't have it, they're going to have elected boards. They can't implement this system. Well, some school board members are really not with it, and they might let you do it. But they, you know, in quotes like Lou Gerstner at IBM and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Heritage Foundation, which is the Trotskyite neocon one, and the Council on Foreign Relations, all of them support school choice. But the major thing they've got to do, they've got to get rid of elected boards. And if, the former head of the IBM, Lou Gerstner, not just once but twice, he has called on Obama, this is in the Wall Street Journal, to get rid of all 16,000 public school districts. Now, what he means by that is not to get rid of the brick and mortar and all. He wants to get rid of elected boards.
Hmm.
Now, charter schools, I don't know. Do the people in California not yet understand that a charter school doesn't have an elected school board?
They probably don't.
Well, people know that. You know, it's funny. I bring this up a lot because I'm always curious, you know, what people...
Okay, who's right, you or me?
Well, but you know what I mean? They know, but they don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
So I guess my answer is yes and no.
Yeah.
They know, but
well,
they say...
Well, they will think it is a very big problem mm-hmm. when their child has what you were talking about, you know, gender neutral or whatever. They will think it's a large problem when they've enrolled their child in a charter school that deals with something really yummy like dance or one thing or you know, music or whatever. Hmm? And they feel so comfortable. And then all of a sudden, boom, the child comes home. The child has taken the national assessment, which, of course, they have to because it's federally funded, a charter school. And the child is being asked you know, some very, very strange questions about what goes on at home or their values or one thing or the other. But there's nothing new about this. Well, I mean, Anita Hoag, brilliant Anita Hoag from Pennsylvania, she fought this thing in the late 80s. She went up against the Pennsylvania Department of Education under the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment, and she won. She won the case. Now, look, with charter schools, you've had it. You've had it. You have no way to go up against anything.
Mm-hmm.
I know how, you know.
Kind of like bureaucracies.
Maybe you gals could tell me how, those of us who understand this, how do we get through to people? What do I tell you? I just told you that charter schools are being used in Russia, okay? Now, I'm going to read something to you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'm going to read you from this newsletter. Effective schools is outcomes-based education, Skinner. You need effective schools, you've probably heard of it, with an E, in order to implement the Soviet polytech system, all right? Now, I'm going to read you a page here if I have time, and maybe we can finish it if I don't have time, but this is what one pager that I passed out at a Common Core demonstration in the state of Maine, because they think Common Core is the issue, too. All right. Tax-supported school choice is the issue. It must not be subordinated to opposition to controversial Common Core, which we have had under various labels, the national assessment, et cetera, since 1970. In fact, we had worse standards in 1975. One of the standards we had in Maine was that eighth graders should understand the three types of sexual intercourse, including with animals.
Wow.
All right? That's 1970, so don't think Common Core is different. It's not. It's only got computers. The computers are there now, and the assessment and data collection. That's the difference. That's the only difference.
Well, and you know, and this is part and parcel of a bigger picture. Because, for instance, recently the American Psychiatric Association determined that pedophilia is now a sexual orientation.
That's right. Well, that's people should go to Judith Reisman's work. She's the number one person in the world on the subject of Kinsey and pedophilia. And I'll just type into Google Judith Reisman, R-E-I-S-M-A-N. And she's been working on this subject for about 30 years. I feel sorry for her because it's a difficult subject to deal with.
Yeah.
She speaks all over the world, written many books, and she's a remarkable person. So anyway, now, tax-funded school choice will be used to change our capitalist economic system to a socialist global planned economy. Now, I say read the article below, and you can get this, article, you know, if after I've read it to you, I'm going to read it to you. If after I've read it, you say, oh, gee whiz, I wish I could see that, well, you can. You can go to the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, which is deliberatedumbingdown.com, pages 292 to 294. It's a free download. You can cut and paste what I'm reading and send it to everybody. The purpose of my reading this to you today is to show you that school choice and charter schools are, it's the international communist polytech workforce training system, corporations working with the government. That is part of the Communist Manifesto, isn't it?
Yep.
It's the public-private partnership. Well, they don't have anything private in communism, but that doesn't really make any difference. It's the government working with the corporations. And you have no elected officials when you have that. There's no accountability. So I'm going to go ahead. Now, this article covers everything going in under tax-supported school choice charter schools. All tax-supported school choice proposals must be killed before even thinking about eliminating Common Core. In addition, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act should not be renewed. That's very dangerous. Now, the Effective School Report's February 1992... That's a long time ago. I mean, I'm getting old. I it seems like yesterday for me. I subscribed to that report for 20 years. By the way, when you go to the Deliberate Dumbing Down website, go through all of the, go in the index and look at all the articles under effective schools. And you're going to see how the neoconservatives were mostly involved in all these trips back and forth to Russia. Dale Mann, you know, all the different people from Columbia, Lamar Alexander, they put this thing in the 90s, okay? Well, Democrats did all the damage between 1965 and 1980. All right, here we go. This is an article entitled Free Education in a Free Society, 1992, by Nick Zinow of England's Educational Consultancy. It reads in part, quote, "This article describes a project which began at a conference organized in September 1991, right after the phony fall of the Soviet Union, right, to discuss possibilities for projects between East and West which might assist the process of educational reform in Russia and the other republics formerly of the USSR. An important part of becoming convinced that this was worthwhile was to discover that there was a common set of values and ideas about the changes facing education systems, whether in Russia, the United States, or Europe. A key theme for us was, therefore, that those ideas, which hitherto have been seen as progressive alternatives, and often dangerously radical in educational theory and practice, that's all Skinner and brain research, right, will increasingly become part of mainstream education practice and thinking. A second, now listen to this. This is the school choice thing, folks. Listen in. A second key principle was the idea that increasingly education will cease to be a state monopoly and must have a relationship with the free market." Now, you may think that sounds good. You're thinking to yourself, oh, that means we're going to have private education and we're going to have the free market and we're going to have everything. Oh, no, 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 no. Listen, here we go. This seems to relate it to the idea of individual enterprise and choice. Yes, choice.
It's like magic.
Okay, our belief is that it is helpful to educational reform and therefore to this project to form collaborative relationships between the state and organizations acting in the free market. This will help to allow individual autonomy, enterprise to flourish, and allow relationships between those involved in reform, now get this, not to be based on fixed budgets and supply-side economics. Now, here we've got charter schools, okay? It will require us to have clear contracts between participants. If we have ideas about how to go about training teachers, that's all the performance-based stuff the teachers hate, we will learn these best from each other by doing it together. And that only in this way can the project be effective as an educational intervention between nations, between innovators, or between individuals. We believe in an exchange of learning and in the idea that, now get this, there is likely to be as much that the West can learn from Eastern partners as the other way around. Now, don't forget, communism is not dead. So what does that sentence mean, okay? We believe that a key to what this learning might be about is that the West's knowledge of how to do things in education, how to make changes, for instance, in technology, now this is the most serious part of all, is matched by pedagogic systems, that's Skinner and Pavlov, and really serious, dangerous brain research, okay, is matched by pedagogic systems and theories which have been highly developed where? In Russia. We believe that these theories and practices can form the basis of radical curriculum innovation and organizational reform. Finally, we believe in a project that has an organic structure. It will have two nodes, one in the east and one in the west, and it will span three continents. It will have a core structure which must have a small financial base, And it will have participating organizations and individuals. However, the form of the organization must be one in which projects can be developed from the center core. Hold on. And not controlled by it. Participants should be free to create these without relying on central funding or permission. Now get this. As long as they can fit into this set of agreed values which the project will develop. First among these is the theme of teacher education, both pre and in service. We see this as the key way of changing and influencing education. Thirdly, we hope to gain the active involvement of industry and commerce. We understand it as an important way of ensuring that education is relevant to society, understood and cared about, and seen as connected to sources of wealth creation in society. Certainly in the East, and also we would venture increasingly in the West, active involvement of industry and commerce, this is all school to work, folks, okay? Charter schools, is essential in order to obtain the funds and commitment necessary for educational reform to succeed. This means that in practice, we will take every available opportunity to involve actively avant-garde leaders of industry and commerce, both in funding, supporting, and implementing the project. The important criteria for collaboration must be that there is sufficient congruence of ethics and values about the goals and methods of the project. Now, I'm sorry I went into so much detail, but
that's
people
okay.
may not understand how important that is.
Hold that thought,
me,
Charlotte. We need to take our we've got to take a break.
Hundreds of thousands of documents.
Okay,
to me, that is the key. That paper, that effective school report, and don't forget Secretary Ted Bell, who was under Reagan, was the on the effective school commission. Right? It's been going on for a long time. Few people know about it. And you had Don Thomas, he was another one going back and forth to the Soviet Union. In fact, Orlean, who was on, she has a good friend, Sherilyn Golbrandt-Eger, who I work with all the time out of Utah. And Don Thomas invited Sherilyn in the 90s, Don Thomas of the Effective School Movement, invited her to go to Russia. And, oh, Sherilyn, thank heavens, she turned him down. But you know what he told her? He said, well, you really ought to come. They have such a wonderful system. We really ought to do something. We've got to do something to make ours the same, huh?
Oh, that's awesome.
Come on, folks. Wake up.
Exactly. All right, we're coming right back with Charlotte. We've got to squeeze in one quick break before the top of the hour. I'm in the process of cutting and pasting the pages that she was talking about. We'll get Robert to link those on the page. She was referring to deliberatedumbingdown.com. Great website. Be right back.
It's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall.
I tell them right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
And we're back. Hey, so if I could detour just a tiny bit, I'm reading something that I guess is in Parade magazine, and I don't know if it's today's issue, but it's entitled, You Know Things Are Bad When Jimmy Carter Is Calling You a Loser. And this is basically, Parade magazine did a spread on the, quote, second worst U.S. president in history and his wife, Rosalynn. And they asked some predictable questions, and then, and it's funny, they asked about the key to a successful 67-year marriage, to which Rosalynn replied, space.
Ouch.
But anyway, so, and it says, but the cherry on top of this article, the question about Obama, well, this pretty much says it, and I quote, this is from Jimmy Carter. He's done the best he could under the circumstances. His major accomplishment was Obamacare, and the implementation of it is now questionable at best. Yow, that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
Just thought
and,
I'd share
and then
that.
we're gonna throw the educational part of it in on top of it. So, Charlotte, we've got like a couple minutes here before the news cuts us off, and then we'll have you on for the whole other hour. We'll be a little bit more, we'll be less rushed. Less rush, more Charlotte. How's that? What do you want?
That's fine. And what I wondered is, did you get the information about our, exposing the Global Road to Ruin project up there on your website?
Yes, I sent it. Hold on, let me double check. Yeah, because that was really important. I watched that video last night that you shot me. And there's more to that, right?
Well, we have three more very important speakers that we added to the second conference. But you have to go, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom to get to the, it's going to be coming out in the beginning of December. And we're already taking orders. It's a very, this really, you don't even have to have me on. I mean, that video, it has 15 of the nation's most long-time, highly respected education researchers speaking, videotaped, and eight video discs. And one is a CD with written submissions from researchers who couldn't be with us. But seven discs are, it's sort of like, a good 12 hours of video.
Okay, well,
these are the people, since 1960. Teachers, public school teachers as well, are videotaped and telling you exactly what's going on now and what you can do to stop it. It's a toolkit to save America.
Nice.
Because it's through the schools that America will go down. Nothing else.
It's right here.
Because you're going to lose your elected officials through school choice.
It's right here on the front page, Charlotte. We got you. Exposing the Global Road to Ruin at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Go on, click on it. You got a few minutes to watch. Be right back with Charlotte for the second hour.
You're listening to We the People on KCNR Shasta Reading.
Hour 2 of We the People Radio with your hosts Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. We're chatting and streaming live at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Go to that webpage because everything that Charlotte Iserbeet, our guest today, is talking about is right there for you to follow along with. And very quickly, if you look up at the skies today, especially in Northern California, the geoengineers have been very busy through the night. Go to the archives at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Go to July 18th, I believe it is. And just kind of peruse the show that we had on geoengineering, and you will understand why the skies look like they do. July 28th.
All of our fake clouds. I hear Bob over there telling someone what time it is. Today's always that fun day when nobody knows what time it is. It actually takes a while.
And I know we're going to jump into the privacy issue of charter schools and Common Core very quickly, but just something I wanted to address. Charlotte was questioning, why are people not aware? Why are they not waking up? And we all have typical family members who are working two jobs and raising kids, and they've got so much stuff coming at them from so many levels. At every level, local, state, and federal, and just living life and paying the bills and getting the kids off to school. And that's a challenge, and I think they're being taken advantage of because the powers that be know they can't keep up.
Yeah, they're busy. And I talk to people, all the time who say, I had a couple ladies the other day, and one said, there's just so much stuff, and it's so depressing, I just can't. I just can't get involved. I don't. It doesn't make any difference if I'm involved or not.
Wow.
I didn't kill her either.
Good for you. You're here. So.
I can understand that. I guess at first.
Yeah.
It's kind of an excuse. And
it is.
We got here because a whole bunch of people, myself included,
all of us.
We all thought. I don't know. We all thought somebody else was going to fix it, or it wasn't that bad, or something.
And the thing is you can't.
Then we met Charlotte, and then it was like, crap.
You can't live in a society without taking some responsibility for what happens around you. It'd be like being an employer, hiring an employee, and then saying, okay, well, now that you're hired, good luck, have fun, and do what you will.
Yeah, have a great time.
You don't do that when you're an employer.
Yeah, so anyway.
May I say something?
Yes,
you know
yeah.
What?
Jump in.
I was just thinking about what you all said, and it's so true. We're going to get the very people who feel that way, and I can understand it. They're all busy, and there's so many issues out there. You know, so they're not taking a stand, but they're going to be really sorry when the whole thing crashes around them, and then they won't be able to take a stand because there will be no elected officials. They will have no voting. And then they're going to think back to those days when they were too busy and they could have taken a stand.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make that point. I don't know what people think. Do they really think that this can go on and on and on, that they're going to have this free form of government that they do not bother to participate in? Either government is free or it's totalitarian. And when people give up participating in their government, which is why our Constitution was written the way it was, when they give that up, they're actually saying, okay, George Orwell, bring it on. 1984, boot in my face. They won't be able to vote. They don't vote in totalitarian countries. Do you think they vote in communist China and Cuba? No, they don't.
Mm-mm.
Some of the democratic socialist countries still vote, but not. They don't really have much of a say in what's the most important things, like with regionalism, et cetera, like the European Union. European Union is really, as Gorbachev said, the new Soviet region. You know, what do you call it? The new European Soviet. That's what Gorbachev called it. The new European Soviet. So Americans who are not doing anything about stopping the North American Union, they're going to be pretty shocked when they're under the North American Soviet. Huh. I mean, I don't have much empathy for people who make those excuses, because there are an awful lot of young people that I know who have children and both parents are working, and they're doing a lot of hard work to bring this situation to the attention of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Americans out there, and you don't hear about it because the media is never going to tell you when you've had a victory on something, right? I think we've done extremely well to postpone, you know, the final day when the whole thing comes crashing down. People out there, good Americans, have been fighting, you know, working on this ever since the 30s. 1930s. They've been opposed to this implementation of socialism. And if people think socialism is okay, it's not. I mean, the USSR, they don't call themselves communists. They call themselves socialists, right? United Soviet Socialist Republic. Well, that's what we are. Look, USA, United States of Socialist America, right? That's what we're getting, this same thing with regional government.
I thought the S was for surveillance.
Communism. So what's going in right now really is communism,
mm-hmm,
in this country. And it's been planned that way ever since, 1934, the Carnegie Corporation called for using the schools to change America's to a planned economy, and discussed, you know, and I have a little book, Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies. That's in my big book, too, the quote. But the book itself is at my son's website, AmericanDeception.com, and it says right in there that they're going to take our land from us, and they're going to use the schools to change America to a socialist system. And that's what they've done. And that's where we're right there now, and people are gobbling it up with school choice.
And really,
they can do it through school choice.
And Charlotte,
and I know that's true.
Charlotte,
they probably sit up on the 135th floor of Rockefeller Center. You know, people like the Heritage Foundation and Obama and, mm-hmm, the Council on Foreign Relations, the neocons, the William Bennett, Bill Gates, and all. They sit up there and they say, "Wow, they still haven't caught on, have they?" They haven't caught on to the fact that we're going to take them down with school choice.
And, you know, wouldn't you say that true school choice would have been in the voucher system?
No. What do you mean?
Well, tell me. Well, because the voucher system, didn't that, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but did that allow parents to pick the school of their choice? Whether it be private school, Christian school?
Well, of course they can pick the school of their choice, but they're going to have to abide by federal regulations. Because a voucher is tax money.
Okay, that's good.
You
though,
have
but
to
that's
remember,
good
this whole
to clear that
choice
up.
Issue started with the left. It came out of the left. Aspen Institute, all the left-wing people, they were for school choice. Chamber of Commerce for school choice. And nobody stops to ask, what do they mean by school choice? As I said in the beginning, the only school choice is when we've always had, you know? You could choose between the public school that's paid for with tax money, or you can educate your children at home, or pay tuition, like $5,000 a year, for your child to go to a private school, which could be religious or whatever, right? That is true school choice. It's really wrong for them to call this school choice. Every time they say it, they should say tax-funded school choice. That's the only school choice that is being discussed in this country right now, tax-funded. Why would they bother to talk about the regular original school choice? They want to kill it, and they will kill it if they allow tax money to go to any of the private schools. They will kill private education because no private school can compete with another private school that is taking tax money.
Mm-hmm.
They can't compete. They'll go out of business. That's what happened in France. In France, during the World War II, the Vichy regime under Hitler, that was the first school choice thing that went in under Hitler. He was smart. Yeah. He knew that was how to control under school choice. So they started funding the French schools, the government, not too much until Mitterrand came along in the 80s, I guess, and he was a socialist, and he lowered the boom. And so all the Catholic schools were sucked, you know, sewed up with tax money. So they had to put the federal, which is the national socialist French education system, into the private schools. They don't have any religious schools in France anymore. That is exactly what's going to happen here. If private education takes a penny of federal money. And that's not Charlotte talking, one of the leaders in the school choice movement before he became, you know, he went on over to the other side. Back in the early 80s, Chester Finn, who was a neocon Trotskyite pushing school choice all over the place, charter schools, loved to get rid of private education. Back 20 years ago, he said, this is a direct quote, short of throwing money in the streets so that everybody can come and grab it and stuff their pockets and go home and spend it any way they want, there is no way to give federal or tax money to private education or to parents as sure. vouchers or anything without controls. And that means federal tests, federal curriculum, international curriculum, school to work. Got it? That's it.
Yeah. And so we have so many people that think that that's the answer to our screwed up, you know, public school system and the politics that are going on now and all the social politics being, the imposition of that in the public education. People think they can get away with it, but it's being funded privately.
You know what? It's poisonous. You know, school choice is really, this form of school choice is lethal. It's totally lethal. In fact, I would say I prefer the president, and just for me to say this after writing that big book, criticizing public education, I prefer to stick with the public education system, but I would say we got to go back to pre-1965. Prefer to stick with that system that has elected boards. Go back to pre-1965, a hard thing to do, but we should do that, rather than opt for the totally lethal, I call it lethal, poisonous, school choice. It's lethal because you don't have any elected boards, and the corporations like Gates and the whole crowd, Murdoch and Jeb Bush and these governors and the chief state school officer, they're all in bed together. And they all support the Soviet polytech workforce training system because they want to put in the global economy. They want the planned economy, which I talked about earlier when Carnegie in 1934 called for using the schools to change America from a true capitalistic economy to a planned economy. It's going in right now. And please, folks, understand, it's interesting. Carnegie didn't say it would be coming in through the environment or be coming in through the military or anything. It said it would come in through the schools, and Carnegie would be deeply involved, as it has been every 5 years, putting money into the Education Commission of States, National Governors Association, the National Assessment for Education Progress, the agreements with the Soviet Academy of Science and Brain Research. At the same time, Reagan signed the agreements with Gorbachev to merge the two systems, then the school to work, Mark Tucker, then moving over into charter schools, Carnegie, Carnegie, Carnegie. I wish people would get my updated version of the deliberate dumbing down, because, you know, the original one is out of print, although they can get it free. It's a free download there. But the updated version is at Amazon, and it gives you the last 12 years since the original book was published. And it gives you all this information I'm telling you about on school choice and what has happened, and charter schools, and how they are going to take us down into the polytech system. Look, the charter schools that are going to be put in, the new education system is totally different, but it's not new. They use the minorities to experiment with it since 1968. But it has no grades, no A, B, C, D. All individual education plans, right? That sounds nice. All children will have their individual education plan. In other words, think about this in terms of workforce training. That has to be that way, doesn't it? So, no more competition, no more ABCD, no more K through 12. You can graduate at 14 or 21. This is all geared towards the individual child accomplishing or mastering, quotes, the necessary outcomes or standards for whatever job that the public-private partnerships have decided he is going to do in the future. And they're picking the children out as early as third grade. All right? Now, this is dangerous stuff. It can only go through. This can only be implemented under the new system that I mentioned earlier, Lou Gerstner, former head of IBM, right, called on Obama for. Get rid of the public schools. We can't have public education with elected boards anymore. They've got to go. And if you see charter schools going in all over, especially in inner cities and all, they're taking over complete cities. And they're training these children in workforce training skills. They're not educating them. This is wrong. And this is the socialist, fascist, communist, corporate fascist system. And this is wrong for our children. Please, you know. But then on the other hand, I just don't understand people that want to pay taxes and then not even have any say in what goes on in the school. So that's actually what you're going to have. You're going to be paying. And actually, you know what you're doing? You're paying taxes to train the children in jobs and skills that the corporations used to pay for themselves. What on earth are we doing? People have got to wake up. So that's why I hope they will get this set of discs, eight discs, and it's, what is it, $40 plus shipping. And this is a whole history of the mess out of the mouths of many people who've been involved watching this since 1960. We've got some of these really fine researchers who were fighting this in Sacramento in the 70s when they were fighting systems management, PPBS. Mary Thompson, she lives in California. Mary, she's one of the speakers on one of the discs. You saw her probably, yes, if you looked at the trailer.
Yeah, I did.
She was out there fighting this whole thing in the 60s. She was fighting the sensitivity training. Her daughter came home and, you know, complained about, you know, all this horrible things going on in the school and said that, if she had nightmares, she was having nightmares at night. And am I going to wake up, Mommy? Will I come back? All this, people think what's bad now we didn't have before. Well, those video discs will show you that nothing is new in this education agenda. It's horrible. It has been horrible ever since 1965, when the Democrats actually were responsible. The Republicans were good back then. They tried to stop this stuff. But the Democrats from 1965 to 1980 were really responsible for pushing all these federally funded values, changing, destroying programs that broke the back of our children's morals and values and destroyed their academics as well. But it was mostly an attack on morals and values and the United States constitutional form of government. Then, in 1980, the Democrats sat back and they put their feet up and said, now we're going to let the Republicans take over. And so then Reagan came in. Now, of course, I was a great supporter of him until I found out what the agenda was.
Okay,
when I got in there.
Before we do that part, we've got to take a really quick break. And we're sorry to cut you off. We know you can't hear us. But we'll be right back with Charlotte in 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
In the golden rule, American history and practical math. You study them hard, hoping to pass.
And we're back.
Practical math is dead.
We're talking with Charlotte Ezerbeet. We're talking about Common Core, charter schools, and the true lack of federally funded school choice.
Hey, Charlotte.
Hi, yes.
Okay, we've got to do the privacy thing.
The privacy thing is extremely important right now. This is something you can do. Did you download Anita Hogue's article?
Did. It's on our website.
Yeah, it's called The End of Family Privacy Rights. And then she wrote one more recently. But this is something you can, if your listeners go to The End of Family Privacy Rights by Anita Hogue, October 4th. It was at News with Views, which is a great place to go for all everything I'm talking about today. You really can get information at newswithviews.com. Especially, I was looking at it the other day. I couldn't believe that I would bother to write 12 articles on the dangers of school choice and charter schools. I was looking and I thought, who in their right mind would just keep writing on this subject? And please have your listeners just go and read one of the 12. And read the one that is really sad, conservative traitors. Because that's how it's happening. If we had really good conservative Republicans, working with us, this never could have happened. But as I said earlier, in 1980, when the Democrats put their feet up, they said, okay, now it's for you all to restructure the system. Perestroika, right? Reagan and Gorbachev, perestroika. So we're going to restructure the system towards unelected boards. I was the liaison with the White House on the public-private partnerships. No accountability there, right? That's for school to work. The Skinner method, Pavlov, you need that for training. The Soviet system is exactly what I described to you earlier, where I was talking about no grades, no K through 12, no A, B, C, D, no competition, and Pavlov. That's the Soviet education system. That is what's going in right now under school choice and charter schools. You may not see it in the beginning. They're not so stupid that they're going to let you see it in the beginning. But they will let you see no school, no elected boards in the beginning.
So and when you get people don't think that's bad.
Your child says that they've had to answer some pretty kooky, strange questions in regard to gender and stuff like that. You are going to know that you're in a charter school that is using the federal curriculum and the federal assessment, which is the only way a charter school could operate because it's got federal money. The only way a private school that takes tax money can operate. They've got to use the federal test and have the federal curriculum. You know, I mean, and of course the computer is going to get, is getting rid of all the teachers. Teachers are gone. They're a thing of the past. And the computer is known to be able to change values. Absolutely superb at changing values. So anyway, we're in major trouble, and they're using the schools to take America. They're not using anything else. You know, the UN Agenda 21, et cetera, that's all very, very dangerous. And Rosa Corey actually is one of the speakers that we have behind the green mask on one of the discs. She was here in Maine, and she spoke on it. And Rosa understands as well that without the schools to condition and brainwash the children, they never, ever could have gotten UN agenda policies and sustainable development through. It's the schools that have allowed this to happen. And now, if you're going to allow tax-funded private education, which is vouchers, tuition tax credits, and charter schools without elected boards, you're going to have a total international education system on the computer. And international UNESCO values, which aren't yours, they're all world government, globalist values, abortion, everything goes, will be on the computer, and your child will be brainwashed. And as, what's his name, Dustin Houston, World Institute for Computer Assisted Teaching out of Utah. He said it. He said, won't it be wonderful when the child in the most remote area can have the benefit of the world's finest psychologists on the computer, and nobody can get between that child and the curriculum.
Especially the parents.
Of course not. Nobody. Nobody can get to the child. Not even the teacher, hardly. The curriculum is there. On the computer. The teacher can check to see if the child is coming along. You know, how fast or slow. That's it. So if you go with school choice and charters, that's what you're going to get. If you go with, if you stick with the public schools as bad as they are, that's what you're going to get. But you know what the difference is?
Elected board.
The same thing in both, but the public schools still have elected boards.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only difference. And I can't believe that I'm having to urge parents to stick with this and write their congressman. We have our whole agenda in the toolkit. We have this toolkit, which is our 8-disc project that will be ready the beginning of December. It's a magnificent set of discs, as I said earlier, of the country's best education researchers. None of us are affiliated with any organization. You hear me?
It's nice.
We are not affiliated with one single conservative organization in this country, our speakers, because we know that both sides, the right and the left, have the same agenda at the top. So we're telling you the truth about how you've been had by the leadership of the left and the right, because they have the same agenda. And we're giving you a toolkit in that 8-disc project we have, Exposing the Global Road to Ruin Through Education. That's your toolkit on how to get this country back. And it tells you how to contact your legislators in every single state, explain this to them, show them these videotapes, show them how they've been had as well. The only way for us to straighten out this mess, and we may not be able to do it because we're between a rock and a hard place, both solutions are very difficult. One is lethal. The one without the elected boards is lethal. The other one is horribly difficult because it's been in for so long and destroyed so many children already and teachers. But the one we're talking about is with the elected boards. You've got to get your elected officials contact Washington. They've got to, the state legislators have got to work at the state level to bring down your State Department of Education. They've got to contact people at the federal level. Bring down partially, I say. I never thought it would be partially, but I have to say that now. The U.S. Department of Ed. Don't bring down the whole thing. You've got to leave a small office there with 50
elected people from each state on a little council to monitor the Federal Department of Education and make sure that all of its activities cease and they don't outsource them to Health and Human Services and all the other groups or the corporations. See, we've got to have some presence in Washington so we can go to Congress if we find out that they're disobeying the law. We have to basically get rid of the Department of Ed, but we keep a small office there to monitor a few of its activities. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Then we go back to the local level, and we restore the schools the way they used to be. Academic, K through 12, competition, art, languages, sports, vocational ed, yes, but not school to work, but not the Soviet vocational ed. We restore the system. We get rid of the teacher training at the state university, the rotten teacher training that doesn't teach them anything except how to change children's values. We hire teachers because of their academics, their understanding of academics. Now, I know this sounds difficult, but I want to ask people out there, what's worse? What should you do? What would you do? Try to go back or accept this totalitarian system about which I read to you from the Effective School Report, which is the international system, which is going to be nothing but limited learning for lifelong labor.
Yeah.
Spinning off profits for the global elite. Now, communism is always, any ism form of government always benefits a few elite, not you or your children. So, do you want that? Is that what you want for your children? Or do you want to try to bring the system back? If we fail, we fail, but at least we can say we tried.
Yeah.
Now, the whole project is on the disc set, exposing the global road to ruin through education. And it's taken a lot of time and work, you know, out of us. We've had no money from anybody to do it, except a few of us who pitched in. You know very well we're not going to get any money from a tax-exempt foundation.
Where will people be able to get that, Charlotte?
Money out of our children's lunch money, huh? Come on. Wait a minute, folks. Americans had to do something like this. We had to do it. And we did it. Now, we want your help in marketing it. We want you to buy these discs. We want you to give them to people for Christmas. Do you care? Do you care about the future of your children and grandchildren?
And where will they get them?
And our form of government? Or have you just given up?
Charlotte?
You're just going to accept school choice. You think that's the answer? Well, it isn't. School choice is the answer of the multinational corporations. Bill Gates, Obama, Heritage Foundation, that drafted NAFTA. How many conservatives know that the North American Free Trade Agreement that has robbed us of all of our good jobs was drafted by the conservative Heritage Foundation in Washington that supports school choice? How many listeners know that? Of your listeners?
Well, they do now.
They're getting smarter every day. Hey, Charlotte, tell us, okay, for starters, we've got the, we have the...
You want FERPA? Do you want to do FERPA?
Yes, please. And before that, though... Okay, we have the Exposing the Global Road to Ruin on our website. Okay, we have the link to the video. Yeah. Where are we going to find the link to purchase the video, to purchase the real videos?
Well, Amazon will have it early in December, and people can, if they want multiple copies, they can get it from me. You know, they can email me, or they can write me. It's on my website, deliveritdumbingdown.com.
Okay.
They can sign up ahead of time, you know, first come, first serve right now. Some people are doing that. And once the first box of discs is off the line, you know, it's being developed right now, they will be the first to get the project. I had an order for 5 copies of it from Australia last week, which was nice.
Nice. So okay, we'll get on that.
It's $45, basically. And so really what I'm saying is we've worked hard on this. And actually, think how hard people have worked. We've got people who did
did presentations here who have been involved in the trenches since 1960.
Wow.
Yes. And they have been spending day and
God
night
love them.
Trying to stop this freight train, this lethal freight train. So this is an important project that we hope, well, you know, even if, I mean, certainly we're not foolish enough to think that we're going to be able to win this war. It's like David and Goliath.
Right.
But we have to try. We have to make a last step. And nobody has to do anything except take $40 out of their pocketbook. A one shot. Get it. Show it all over town. Garden club. School board members. Legislature. Ministers. Show these discs to Americans. What's happening to our country? Please, please. I mean,
well, we
how
do
ridiculous. You can go to the supermarket. I know everybody's broke, but yeah, it's pretty easy to
not
spend
that
I don't know. When you see the long line at Starbucks every day, give me a break.
Can't be that broke. Well,
and this is $45 for 8 discs. This is 12 hours of documented presentations, people who been in the wars fighting this stuff. They have all the documents. We have all the images for you that are going to shot right up in front of your face, proving what they're doing, their own words.
That's the
come on,
kicker.
Folks, get with it.
Okay, we'll make sure and get that link out to people. We'll send it out through our the way we promote the shows and stuff. We'll make sure and shoot that out the minute it's available. We're going to take a really quick break so that we can do FERPA. Top of the hour,
yeah,
because honestly, I don't think a lot of people really, you know, we could talk about privacy.
You put article up there?
The article is up there. So we'll come back and highlight that stuff for people so they know what they're looking at. We'll be right back with Charlotte Iserby. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Hey, just a little off topic real quickly here with the travel season coming up and the TSA recently being in the news in the state of California. According to the New York Times, the new TSA pre-screening procedure will now be more exhaustive than a federal background check. The TSA will now be pre-screening your taxes, car registration, passport, employment history, travel history, property ownership records, tax identification numbers, law enforcement information, past travel itineraries. And at the end of the day, the TSA will be reporting their findings to a debt collection agency for the purpose of debt collection in case you owe any taxes. And you can find that on chrisannhall.com, a fantastic constitutional attorney that has been in the North State and travels across the country teaching the history of the Constitution. So go to chrisannhall.com and find that article, or like her on Facebook. Nice. Okay, Charlotte, talk to us about FERPA that people don't understand and aren't going to miss.
FERPA is no longer, basically, due to President Obama's having ordered that the requirements of FERPA no longer have to be acknowledged and carried out. I'll just read this. What we want of all your listeners is for you to go to your D.C. congressmen and senators and write to them. And Aaron's got the article up on your website, right?
Yes.
So you can go there. It's called The End of Family Privacy Rights by Anita Hoag. And that article is also at newswithviews.com, which has all sorts of good articles on everything that we've been talking about today. A lot of articles I've written on school choice. All right. Now, you've got to demand. And I think that actually Congressman Markey from Massachusetts, I understand that he did, one of the good people in Massachusetts wrote him in regard to this, exactly asking what Anita is asking all of you to do. And he was terribly upset, and he is trying to do something. So let's make sure that we get as many letters into our congressmen and senators in regard to this, because it's actually, think about it in terms of not just your children's very personal, private information, but yours. Maybe that makes you feel even more upset, okay? All right, now, this is a quote from John Erickson of ACT. That's, I think it's an assessment group. I'm sorry, I don't know what ACT means. But it says, quote, the assessment, this is the assessment that's going in for your children right now, and Common Core is part of it, and the assessment is the final end of it, because they have to assess whether your children have been adequately brainwashed in the Marxist curriculum, right? So it says the assessment would look beyond academics, of course, to get a complete picture of the whole student, stated John Erickson of ACT. Quote, there would be interest inventories, that's what your children are interested in, as well as assessment of behavioral skills, that means attitudes, values, and beliefs, right, for students and teachers to evaluate. And then she goes on, American citizens must immediately request a federal investigation into the amended regulations of FERPA, Family Education Rights in Privacy Act. Your immediate support and action are required. Now, education has been used to set up data tracking of personally identifiable information in the United States. Our rights are being trampled on. Your children and grandchildren will be at an incredible risk in the future as federal legislation is being prepared that changes how we teach our children. These are the changes, Colin. I mentioned them earlier, and I'm glad Anita has included this too. There will be no more grades like A, B, C, D, or F. Curriculum will not be based on academics. Dispositions and values will be tested and remediated. Your child will be over and over and all with the assessment, the individual education plan. Your child will be constantly remediated so that until he comes to the position they want, which is he measures up as far as being a good global citizen. Competition will be eliminated. Grade levels will be eliminated. The school year will no longer be based on 180 days. Your locally elected school board will become obsolete. That's the charter school choice thing, okay? Now, your child must meet government standards. This is what's going on right now, okay? Which include changing your child's values toward socialist values. Data is given by the schools to large foundations and corporations, data regarding your children, right? Whatever they write down on the little assessment or whatever test they're given in school, that is being given to large foundations and corporations for free. They don't even charge them for it. So they can develop testing, curriculum, and software for the computer to change your child's values toward government-approved attitudes and values. And then she says, this is a gross violation of yours and your child's individual freedom. Now, most people, including our legislators, do not know that FERPA, the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act, has changed. Your family privacy is no longer protected. Your children's personally identifiable information is being given out for free to large corporations to research how to, in quote, change your children into global citizens, end quote. Our plan, that's Anita and all of us, and Anita's part of our 8-disc project as well. We have a wonderful 1-hour presentation of hers. Our plan is to open a privacy investigation and expose the illegal, underscored, release of this personal information to foundations, organizations, nonprofits, and businesses that will profit from your children's data. The amended FERPA regulations were issued without congressional oversight. Obama has issued an executive order to change how the government and what the government collects on families. A huge shakeup would take place in the U.S. Department of Education if hundreds, perhaps thousands, of Americans make requests calling for an investigation into the expanded FERPA regulations that exceeded their statutory authority and are contrary to law. We could stop the illegal, rampant research on children, individual children's values, attitudes, and dispositions presently called for in the proposed, now get this, you've heard of the reauthorization of the ESEA, Elementary and Secondary Education Act, okay? That's going on right now, and it is bad. It is so bad, especially the Senate version of the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Of course, it includes charter schools and everything.
Sure.
It has to, because that's the wave of the future, limited learning for lifelong labor, okay? We could stop the illegal, rampant research on your children's values, et cetera, presently called for it in the reauthorization of ESEA, Title I, and Special Education Funds IDEA that will be used to fund, now, remediation of your child's attitudes, values, and dispositions. Now, do you know what that means? That means if your child happens to believe in God or doesn't believe in global warming or one thing or the other, your child has to have his values changed, and they're going to do it even if it takes 100 years. And that's why some children will graduate at 14 and some at 21. The one who graduates at 21 was more difficult to get his values changed. Got it?
Okay. Hey, Charlotte, a couple of questions regarding charter schools. May I?
You turned her volume down.
I'm sorry. Charlotte, can you hear me?
Yes, I do. I hear you.
Okay, a couple of questions. Do you lump all charter schools together on this? Are they all in on this nefarious plot in your mind, or are there some good charter schools out there?
Oh, no, there are none. I mean, even looking at it from the standpoint of the test scores and all, we've got the research on charter schools, and they're way below, as far as academically speaking, they're below the public schools. Stanford, there's a good, actually, I think it's on the trailer for the Global Road to Ruin that Aaron has.
Uh-huh.
It's on the trailer there. Polly Anglin is an expert. She's one of our speakers at our conference. She's an expert on charter schools, and she shows the results on charter schools out of Stanford University, and they're below the public schools. So parents have got to realize that. And then the other thing, you asked me, are they all the same? Of course they're all the same, because they're all federally funded.
Yeah, but you can start a charter school for any reason you want to. You can petition.
Yeah, but they're all federally funded, which means that even if the reason is it sounds good to the parents, they're going to have to take the state, the national assessment. Let me point this out. People don't have to listen to me or believe me, but William Bennett, who was the former Secretary of Education, in Department of Ed, people have heard of him, and you know his book on values and all that stuff. He was all involved in K-12, which is a virtual charter school. You know, one of the new American School Development Corporation charter schools, and so it's virtual, which means on the computer. So homeschoolers were interested in his curriculum, K-12. And so they asked him, they're smart, homeschoolers are pretty smart, that's the right questions. And they said, Secretary Bennett, what test do the children have to take? And he said, well, they have to take the national assessment because it's a charter school. It's federally funded. So it doesn't make any difference whether it's, as I said before, ballet or, let's say, landscape focus or literature focus or history focus or what. They have to take the national assessment.
Okay, one other thing.
And that is, 60% politically correct.
One other thing, I don't know how it is in other states, but here the charter schools are in a school district. In this case, we have four charter schools in the Gateway School District in our local area, and the district has bylaws to oversee the schools and to revoke the charters if they don't pass muster.
Yeah, but they don't have an elected school board.
Well,
they might have a board for that particular school, but that doesn't represent all the taxpayers in your
The Gateway District does have an elected school board.
Well, how does it? How does it have an elected school board that represents all the taxpayers in that community?
We only have 20 seconds left. Charlotte, thank you for hanging with us this morning. We only have 20 seconds left before the computer cuts us off. So we will...
If that's a charter, that's just not possible that you would have... I've never heard of a charter school that had a board that represented all that. I know they have boards that represent the parents that send the children to that.
Well, they're part of a larger district that includes public schools.
All right, we'll have to sort that one out on a different day, probably over the phone, eh? We'll get back to you guys.
Maybe he should go and read the articles at News Review.
Okay, well, go online and read the Gateway Unified District Charter bylaws.
Okay, I'll send them to you. Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. We will see you next week here at We the People Radio on KCNR.
KCNR Shasta Redding.